The Good Christian, or Sermons on the Chief Christian Virtues, by Father Francis Hunault, translated from the original German edition of Cologne, 1740, by Father J. Allen, Imprimatur Martyr, Bishop James D. Ricards. Copyright 1891. On the Value of Time, Preached on the Feast of the Circumcision. And after 8 days were accomplished, St. Luke chapter 2, verse 21, Introduction. So we are another year older, my dear brethren, God be praised and thanked, but I know not whether I should wish you another year of life or not, for I should like my wish to be efficacious and to produce its effect, and as I cannot see into the hidden decrees of God, I cannot say whether or not all who are here present will see another year. Moreover, I should like to wish you something agreeable. But there are some who would not be satisfied with 1 year. They would like to live longer. And if I were to confine my wish to one happy day for you, it would be too little altogether. Therefore, I will not measure your lives by days or years, but will act like those travelers who, when they come to a place and have not an exact idea of the time, salute people by saying, good day, instead of good morning or evening, so as not to make a mistake. Or, as the old Traverse custom has it, to say, a good time to you. This salute will hold good for the day and the year both, and such is my wish to you now, instead of the usual New Year's greeting. A good time to you, my dear brethren. May the time that God has appointed for each and every one of you to spend on this earth be a good one. The value of this wish, that is, what a treasure time is, I shall explain in the first part, how each one should use it in his state of life, I shall show in the second part. Christ Jesus, who art God from all eternity and hast become man in time for our sake, teach us through the intercession of thy virginal Mother Mary and her holy guardian angels, and impel us at the same time to use according to thy holy will the precious gift of time that we have received from thy hands. It seems to me, my dear brethren, that I already have seen on your faces signs of discontent with which you receive my greeting. What a cold New Year's wish, you think, a good time to you. I might expect that much from my servant if I had remained at home. A good time? What is that worth? I hear it 100 times a day when I meet people in the street. True, my greeting is no novelty for you. You hear it very often, but perhaps you have never yet realized what a beautiful one it is, what a precious, incomparable good it is that is thus wished to you. Alas, that men should think so little of the precious gift of time. If I could by my wishes give you a bag of gold, would you not press eagerly forward to receive it and run off home filled with pleasures at the thought of the agreeable burden you carry? If I could by my intercession obtain some great favor for you from your sovereign, would you not look on yourself as being under a great obligation to me? If I could cure one of you of some grievous illness, would he not consider that he owes his life to me next to God? On the other hand, if I spent a few hours talking with him about useless topics to entertain him, he would not feel grateful to me. And yet a single quarter of an hour is of more value than all those other things that single quarter of an hour he cannot make me any return for. Consider now briefly with me what time is, how great the gain which the good use of it brings, how great the loss which the waste of it entails, and then you will change your opinion, and with the heathen philosopher Seneca, who had only the light of reason to guide him, you will acknowledge that time is beyond price in value. Whom can you show me, he asked, who will put a price on time? The world values a thing either because it is rare and costly, or because it is useful or necessary to our comfort and support. Why do some people value gold more than mortar and stone? You cannot eat the one any more than the other. Because the latter are common, but the former is rare and difficult to get. If gold and silver were as common as the sandstone in our mountains, the streets would be paved with it, and we would tread it underfoot. Now, what is more rare than time? For no one during his whole life has more of it in his possession than a single moment, since what is past is no longer mine, and what is to come is not in my power. This present little moment of time, in which I draw my breath, and which is past even while I speak to you of it, is all that I can call my own. What is dearer than time? Bring together all the treasures of the whole world. You can buy fields and lands with them. You can blind and pervert men with them. But if you offend the whole lot of them for a single quarter of an hour, but if you offered the whole lot of them for a single quarter of an hour, who would be able to give it you? No one. Go to the most powerful kings and emperors, in whose favor and protection you trust, for whom you are ready to shed your blood and give your life. Ask one of them for a short hour of life for your dying son, and you will get from him the same answer that the Emperor Charles V gave to one of his courtiers. As you have perhaps already heard or read, the emperor on one occasion visited a courtier of his, whom he greatly esteemed, and who was at the point of death, and asked him whether he could do anything for him. Yes, answered the sick man, there is one favor I should like very much to obtain from your majesty. What is it? Said Charles. Something for your family? No, said the sick man. It is for myself. I have served you, as you know, for such a long time. All I ask of you now is to prolong my life for a few hours that I may prepare for eternity. A few hours of life? Exclaimed the emperor, shrugging his shoulders. I cannot do that for you. Whereupon the dying man began to weep. Unhappy man that I am, he said, I have spent so many hours, days, weeks, months, years in the service of a master who is not able to give me 1 hour when I am so badly in want of it. And meanwhile I have neglected the service of God, who has promised me an eternal reward for a momentary service, and who would now have given it to me. Thus weeping and lamenting, he breathed his last. Truly, he would have done better if he had begun in time to serve the Lord, for it is God alone who can make time and give it when, how, and to whomsoever he pleases. Powerful as earthly lords may be, they are not able to give anyone a moment of time. It is not for you to know the times or moments which the Father hath put in his own power, said the Lord to his disciples. Men cannot even know what is to happen in future time, much less dispose of that time according to their pleasure. God alone sells time. And for what price? Not for gold or silver. They cannot buy it. For what then? For nothing less than the life's blood of Jesus Christ, his Son. When our forefather sinned in paradise, he, and we too with him, lost all right to do penance, and would not have had a single moment given us to find grace again if the Son of God had not offered to suffer death for us. Oh, good time! What a precious treasure thou art! What a great price was required to buy thee! Another circumstance that makes a thing valuable is the use and profit we can derive from it. Now, what good would all your gold be to you if you did not use it in or turn it to account? If you had heaps of it, what good would it be to you if you could not get a piece of bread with it all? In spite of your riches, you should die of hunger. What profit does time bring with us? What profit does time bring, my dear brethren, when it is good time and well used? When God gives you a moment, how much do you think you can gain in that short time? 100 thalers? 1,000 pistoles? That would be a great deal in your idea, and in that way you would become a rich man in a quarter of an hour. But after all, that is not worth speaking of. It would be quite too small an interest for such a great capital as a moment of valuable time. You must expect much more than that. What, then, can you gain with it? A whole earthly kingdom? Still too little. The whole world? Even if you gained that with all your riches and treasures, you would still have reason to sigh and complain that your time was wasted. No, everything that perishes with time is not worth time. Tell us, O Holy Apostle St. Paul, what time is worth. That which is at present momentary in light of our tribulation worketh for us above measure exceeding an eternal weight of glory. But what do I say? The possession and enjoyment of the infinite good himself, and no greater can be named than that, is the reward of a moment of well-spent time. I take as witnesses of this all those who are now happy in heaven. They will tell me that a momentary good thought, a word spoken in a second, a trifling work performed for the honor of God, a momentary act of patience and mortification, a short act of contrition for sin, a momentary act of the love of God, was the seed they sowed, an eternal crown of glory, an abundance of joys, an infinite God whom they possess forever, is the fruit that grew from it. Such, my dear brethren, is the profit we can make every moment of our lives, if we wish. Oh, what consolation and happiness for us! If the blessed elect could be distributed by any feelings of regret or an unsatisfied desire, there would be nowhere greater sorrow than in heaven, for the saints would grieve intensely that they lost even one moment of time while on earth by not spending it in the service of God. Nowhere would there be greatest dissatisfaction than in heaven, on account of the fervent desire that all the elect would feel to have still a little time given them, that they might suffer all imaginable torments in order to add to their glory. Yes, holy souls, if you were not satisfied with God's will, if you were not in a place where envy must not enter, you would certainly begrudge us our good fortune in still having time to merit, or at least you would ardently wish to share in it so as to increase your eternal joys. But what must you think of us when you see how we permit that precious treasure to lie idle or willfully squander it as if we had too much of it? Are you not amazed at our stupidity in setting such small value on our precious time? Or rather, do you not pity our blindness in abusing to our eternal ruin that with which we might purchase such great happiness? O Christians, what use do we make of our time? What have we done with the costly days and hours of the past year? How many are there not who have spent them in a wicked and impious manner? But it is not my intention to denounce sinners today, and otherwise that waste of time would deserve serious reprobation. So much, my dear brethren, can time bring us in by way of profit when we use it properly. From this, too, we can see what a terrible loss and injury are caused by the loss and abuse of time. For the greater the profit we can make, the greater the loss when we fail to make it. Come forth out of your torments, you reprobate and demons, and tell us what the loss of time has caused you. You are best fitted to be impartial witnesses in this case, for your loss is as great as the good from which you are excluded for all eternity, as immense as the evil to which you are now condemned, as terrible as the fire which the anger of God has kindled for your eternal torment. If I could give back to one of you that day that you lost in gambling and drinking, that night which hid your impurity from the eyes of men, that morning which you spent in bed indulging in foul thoughts, that evening that you squandered away dancing in dangerous company, nay, if I could restore you one moment of that time, what would you do? Ah, you would get rid of an eternity of misery by a sorrowful confession of your sins, and in the same moment you would gain an eternity of happiness. No penance would be too severe, no austerity too great for you, no suffering so acute that you would not joyfully accept it. But, unhappy creatures, there is no hope for you. Continue in your despair. There is no longer the least chance of your having an hour, a quarter of an hour, a moment of time. Your sorrow and repentance are not of the least use to you. Even in the last moment of your life, you might have escaped those torments, but now that is impossible. Time is no more for you. O God of goodness, eternal praise and thanks be to Thee for giving me still the present time. What the damned in hell cannot do in all eternity with all their howling and weeping, that I can do by Thy grace at any moment by one tear of contrition, by one sigh, by perfect sorrow for my sins. I can appease Thy anger and blot out a million of sins. What the elect in heaven cannot merit by all their perfect acts of the most perfect charity, that is, an increase of glory, that I can gain every moment by every good thought. See, my dear brethren, how precious the treasure is that I wish you today. Take that wish, then, all of you, in the sense in which I make it. A good time to you all, as long as God will give it to you, but at the same time, would to God that each one use this gift so as to profit by it. And this is the wish I desire to express in the second part. It is my wish, I say, for that is all I can do. I cannot realize it. God expects you to do that, but He will not force you to do it. Each one must do it for himself while he has time. How, then, is time to be used? For nothing else but the end for which we are created. A good time to you, but use it in praising and serving God. A good time to you, but employ it for the salvation of your souls. A good time to you, but use it only to gain heaven. A good time to you, but see that it is spent in doing your duty according to the will of God in your different states of life. If you neglect this, the great treasure is useless to you. Days, months, and years will be lost. Many a time will be a pleasant one for you, but it will be followed by a terrible, unhappy eternity. A good time to you, reverent members of the clergy. The envious and ignorant world imagines that your time is too good, for according to it, one must look amongst you for good. That is, as the world understands the phrase, idle days, because you have not to play a trade or business, or to undergo hard bodily labor to earn your daily bread, which comes to you without all that trouble from the inheritance of Jesus Christ. But how beautiful and profitably the time will be spent if you employ it as you ought in performing the duties of your state. St. Augustine, defend you and me. Nostrum otium, he says, magnum negotium est. Our apparent leisure is, in reality, a most important work. Our idleness, as the world calls it, is a great thing in the sight of God. Our praying, singing, and praising God is a great work. The holy sacrifice we offer every day on the altar is a great work. The sighs and prayers that we send forth to God to appease His anger are a great work. The instructions, exhortations, and good example by which we endeavor to lead others on to holiness of life and zeal and the divine service, thus opening to them the door of heaven, are indeed a great work. To be holy at all times, in all places, at home as well as in church, holy at table and at the altar, holy when alone and in company, holy in prayer and study, holy in inward intention and outward work, holy in the secret mortifications and chastisements of the flesh, holy in our decent amusements, in word, in all our behavior. That indeed is a great work. That is our chief pastime. That is the principal business which God expects us to attend to. Go, said God to Moses in the old law, and much more would He use those words to us in the law of grace. Speak to the priests. And what was He to say to them? They shall be holy to their God, and shall not profane His name, for they offer the burnt offering of the Lord, and the bread of their God, and therefore they shall be holy. Oh, would that it were thus spent the time given us by God! What great profit it would bring us! Such is, at all events, my earnest wish. Let us try to carry it into effect. A good time to you, laymen, magistrates, public servants, lawyers, and all, whoever you may be. You have been called by God to look after the welfare of the community. You are looked on in quite a different light, for, as it seems, you have not good times enough. Often you have to steal, as it were, what is necessary for your rest at night if you attend as you ought to the duties of your state. You have indeed much to do, and you do a great deal if you perform those duties well, that is, for the proper end, the honor and glory of God, and the salvation of your souls. But if you forget that good intention, all your labor is fruitless. And we might apply to you the words of St. Augustine in another sense. Vestrum negotium magnum otium est. Your work seems great in the eyes of the world, but it is a mere idleness in the sight of God. Without the good intention, you resemble that emperor who spent the day in catching flies. You are like candles that give light to others, but consume themselves while doing so. You are like channels that convey water to others, but keep none for themselves. Your days are passing in serving a master, and looking after your family affairs, and making money, but the most important business you neglect, your soul remains always poor, naked, and bare of merit. Time is too precious for you to be thus lavish of it in favor of others. If you wish then to make a good use of it, I beg of you not to forget God and your souls in the midst of your labors. You can easily so arrange matters, if you wish, that you will be able to spare half an hour in the day to hear one mass, and a quarter of an hour in the evening to examine your conscience and settle your accounts with God. You will not miss the week or the few days, at least, that you will spend in the year in making a spiritual retreat, a practice which, if not necessary, is at all events highly advantageous for those who are distracted with business during the year. And even if you suffered some temporal loss by attending to those things, you should not omit them on that account. You give away money to buy bread, says St. Augustine. Give it away, then, to purchase peace. In order to attend to the important business of your souls and to set it to rights, that is the way to buy time when we have not enough of it, as St. Paul warns us. See, therefore, brethren, how you walk circumspectly, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time. If a poor man comes to you now and then to ask you to help, for help and good advice, if desolate widows and orphans have some law dispute to settle, if there is a question of furthering and protecting the cause of religion or the honor of God, if abuses have to be abolished or prevented, do not say, as some do, I have not time now, you must come again, I have something else to attend to, in a month's time I shall be more at leisure, etc. And meanwhile the poor man, who could have been helped in an hour, has to remain for a month without assistance, advice, or bread. Be assured that a single work of Christian charity and mercy will be far more profitable to you, even in temporal things, than a whole week spent in attending to your usual, seemingly most important business. Redeem the time, buy it in that way, and then you will do something really important. A good time to you, married people. Oh, what a good time you will have if you employ it well in serving your God. Your Creator has given you a time excellently suited for the practice of almost all the Christian virtues, and you have occasions of practicing them from morning till night. For the duty imposed on you by God is to look after your domestic concerns with Christian care, lest you have time of submission and obedience to God. Your duty is to bring up your children from their tenderest years to a Christian life, to instruct them in the Christian doctrine and in divine truths, to inspire them with the fear and love of God, to keep them from sin and the occasions of sin, to reprove and correct them when they do wrong, to give them good example, and thus lead them on to virtue. And the same, due proportion being observed, is to be said with regard to your servants. See what a beautiful time you have to practice zeal for souls, to act as preachers and catechists, and thus to further the honor and glory of God. Every day you have to bear different crosses, trials, and contradictions. See what a time you have for the exercise of Christian patience and fortitude. The servants are not as you wish. The husband or wife is troublesome. One or the other is in a bad temper. If peace and harmony are to be preserved, much has to be given and taken on both sides, and faults have to be mutually borne with. There you have a time for humility, meekness, and Christian mortification. Sometimes the business is a failure. Losses and misfortunes make it difficult for you to provide for your children. You find it hard to keep them decently according to their station. There you have a time for confidence in the great provider, for resignation to the will of God. The Christian law requires you to be honest and upright in your dealings. There you have time for justice. Poor beggars come to your door for a piece of bread. There you have time for practicing charity, for feeding and clothing our Lord in the persons of the hungry and the naked. In a word, there is nothing that cannot be made available to your salvation. Happy are you if you only know how to make a good use of your time, and if you do not willfully make a bad time of it by carelessness, idleness, impatience, and neglect of the good intention. A good time to you, unmarried people. But you do not want any such wish from me, for your time is the best of all. And as the wise man says, you are in the flower of your time. But how long will it last? Oh, you think, perhaps, we need not bother about that yet. We are still young and have many years before us. Come, therefore, and let us enjoy the good things that are present, and let us speedily use the creatures as in youth. Let not the flower of the time pass us by. Let us everywhere leave tokens of joy. Let us enjoy the pleasant days as long as we have them. Afterwards, we shall have time to think of the eternity and to lead pious and holy lives. Ah, be not too confident. You are still young, but are you sure that you will live to be old? A flower may be very beautiful, but it is easily broken and easily withers. Imagine that on a table before you there are many glasses that have been placed there at different periods. Some have been there for 50, and this for 10 years, and this were placed there yesterday, and some are more precious than the others. Which of the glasses do you think will be broken first? The oldest and worst? That you cannot say, for they are all equally frail, and one can be broken just as easily as another. Which then will be smashed the first? The one that is the first to be thrown on the ground, and that may happen to the newest and most precious, as well as to the oldest and most worthless. So it is with us mortals. We are all frail and weak vessels. This or that one has now been many years on earth, while you are still young and strong. But will he have a shorter time to live than you? Ah, you cannot say that. He, you must know, will be the first to die when the divine decree shall first cast to the ground. Ah, who can say that? He you must know will be the first to die, whom the divine decree shall first cast to the ground. Now, since the decrees of Providence are unknown to us, the young are in just as great a state of uncertainty with regard to the duration of their lives as the old, and they, too, must wait for the hour when the Lord shall come, and according to what Jesus Christ himself says, that will be when we least expect. At what hour you think not, the Son of Man will come. Therefore the wise Ecclesiasticus warns us, Son, observe the time, and fly from evil. My son, my daughter, let not the particle of that beautiful flower, your youth, pass by uselessly. Sometimes young people deliberate as to how they shall pass the time away. Come, they say, let us go for a walk to pass the time. Let us eat, drink, and make merry to pass the time. Let us hold carnival gatherings and sing, play, and dance to pass the time. A great part of their time is spent before the looking glass, and all to get rid of the time. Is that all you think of, that precious treasure? Must the beautiful time, or even 1 hour of it, which the merciful God has given you to serve him and save your souls, be thus passed idly, uselessly, and as it were, murdered? Alas, the time of salvation is passing away, and no one thinks of it. Observe the time, I repeat, and fly from evil. My son, my daughter, make a good use of your time, and be on your guard against sin. Since your time is still the flower of time, God requires in a special manner that you should devote it to his service. This is the good time in you, in which, with the prudent virgins, you have to lay in a supply of oil, that is, to practice real devotion, and adorn your souls with virtues. If you lose this time, your loss will be irreparable. The 5 foolish virgins were not animated to the nuptials. The 5 foolish virgins were not admitted to the nuptials. Why? They came too late, and not much too late either, for the door was not yet shut. Yet even the little delay they made was a reason why the Lord said to them, I know you not. Therefore make a good use of your time. A good time to you, widows and orphans, afflicted and oppressed Christians. A good time to you again. Ah, you will perhaps say to me as old Tobias said to the angel Raphael, when the latter wished him joy. So, going in, he saluted him and said, Joy be to thee always. Alas, sighed Tobias, what manner of joy shall be to me, who sit in darkness and see not the light of heaven? Such, too, will be your thoughts. What are you saying to us about a good time, while we are wailing and weeping in distress and misery, so that a day seems to us as long as a year, and we are weary of life? We have not a joyful moment on earth. Your wish is indeed good, but it is a pity that it cannot be realized, so that we might have better and more joyful times. But I answer you in the words of the angel Raphael, Be of good courage, thy cure from God is at hand. Courage, afflicted souls. Even yours is a good and desirable time. An hour spent in bearing the cross of adversity can be more profitable for you than years of prosperity and abundance. Only resign yourselves humbly and patiently into the hands of your heavenly Father, and then you will always be able to give a cheerful answer to those who question you, like that beggar at the church door. He was greeted once with the same wish that I now offer you. Thank you very much, he replied, but you must know that I have never had a bad or unhappy day in my life, because I have everything I desire or wish for. How is that, poor man? You have to sit there in the cold and wet, hungry and thirsty, with hardly a rag to cover you. True, but that is what I delight in. I desire nothing but what God wills, and since I am certain that without His will nothing can happen to me, I always have what I wish for. Courage, then, your cure from God is at hand. This troublous time will not last long. That which is as at present momentary in light of our tribulation will be followed, not by anything lasting only for a time, but by an eternal weight of glory, which the faithful God has promised and is keeping for you. A good time to you, tradesmen, laborers, and servants. You often complain of being kept so hard at work by your employers and masters that you have no time to do good. But you have time enough, if you only wish to make a good use of it, and no one in the world but you and your own selves can prevent you from doing that. Time alone, says St. Bernard, is ours. Not in the sense that we can dispose of it as we choose, but the time now bestowed on us by our Creator is really in our hands, that we may employ it for the salvation of our souls. Money can be taken from you. You cannot deprive Money can be taken from you. You can be deprived partially or wholly of food and clothing, but the contract you have made with your master, you have in so far sold him your freedom that you must obey him and do not what you yourselves please, but what he commands. But the time given you to work out your salvation, no master on earth can take from you, unless he deprives you of life by violence. It is true that your masters and mistresses can prevent you from going to church, or hearing Mass, or a sermon, or saying long prayers, but your obedience to the will of your superiors, even in this particular, is making a good use of your time and serving God faithfully. For that, and no other, as I have explained on a former occasion, is the character that God wishes you to represent in this life. Act your part well therein, as and because God wills. Never forget the good intention in your daily labor, and above all, be careful that your soul does not fall under the yoke of the devil by mortal sin. If you do that, your time will be meritoriously spent. And finally, a good time to you, O sinners. You are most in need of a good time, for as the Apostle says, your days are all evil and unhappy. There are days which, on account of your wicked lives, serve you for no other purpose than to incur more and more the anger of God, days which serve to fan the flames of hell and increase your eternal punishment, days which the devil writes down in his book to produce against you on that day when time shall be no more. He hath called against me the time, as the prophet Jeremiah says. All the days, weeks, months, and years that you will have spent in the state of sin shall be brought forward by your accusers before the judgment seat and shall condemn you. For the only use you make of your time is to prepare for yourselves an eternity of torments. Oh, sinners, you still have time to escape that fate. Yet a little while I am with you, said our Lord to the Pharisees, and he says the same to you now. You shall seek me and shall not find me. And he continues, you shall die in your sin. What will you have left then? A body to be fuel for hell, a soul, a memory, to be tormented with eternal despair on account of the loss of time during which you might have done penance. But you will have no time anymore, not a moment. You will have no God, except one who will punish you most severely and without mercy. May God save you from that fate. O Christians, how is the good time? Now is the good time for you. Do not hesitate. Do not defer repentance. I must conclude, my dear brethren, because the time for preaching is an end for me for the present. I again wish each and every one of you from my heart a good time, exhorting you in the words of St. Paul. Therefore, whilst you have time, let us work good. For of the time that we have already lived, there remains nothing to us, and perhaps we have wasted a good part of that. Once for all, do not forget that the time we do not spend for God and our souls is lost forever. Oh, what a loss of graces and merits that implies! But as we cannot recall that time, let us try to make up for it by a greater zeal, like the traveler who, having lost his way in a forest, walks all the faster in order to come back sooner on the right road and to get to his destination before nightfall. The time that will be granted to us in the future is very short and uncertain, and will vanish like an arrow shot from a bow. Who knows whether the greater number of us who are now here present will not be in our graves before the end of another year. If an angel came from heaven and announced the hour of death to each one of us, saying, you have a year, or half a year, or a few months, or a few weeks, or 3 or 4 days to live, how would we act during the time remaining to us? Oh, how we would purify our consciences! How carefully we would avoid sin and the occasions of sin! How well we would perform the duties of our state! In a word, how zealously we would serve God! Why, then, do we not do so now, since we are not sure of a moment in the day? Therefore, whilst we have time, let us work good. Yes, O my God, and I say, now I have begun, such is my earnest resolution with thy holy servant David. Now I will begin to serve thee, and what I have not, alas, done hitherto, to love thee sincerely with my whole heart. Now I say, for to no purpose would I look back on the time, past time, from which nothing remains to me but bitter sorrow for having misused it. Accursed idleness, what a treasure thou hast robbed me of! Useless conversations in company, what precious hours you have made me squander, which I could and should have employed so profitably for God and my immortal soul. Ah, these complaints come too late. The beautiful time is gone. Vanity should I rely on the future time. Vainly should I rely on the future time, for I cannot promise myself a single moment of it. Therefore, I will use all the more profitably what I have still in my power. I am resolved, now I have begun. O year that are now commencing, O month, O week, O day, perhaps thou art mine. But the time allotted me, long or short, what a precious gift it is, since eternity depends on it. Would I not be blind and foolish to lose any part of it? Heavenly Father, who has created time by thy almighty power, Christ Jesus, who has redeemed it by thy precious blood. Holy Ghost, who has sanctified by thy grace the good use of it. Make me use it in future as become such a creator, such a redeemer, such a sanctifier. On this day I offer thee all the days and hours that still remain to me. On this day on which my Savior shed the first drops of his blood for me, offering them to thee, and that offering I make thee, trusting in thy help to carry out my good resolution, so that not a moment of the time remains to me may be given to the vantages of the world or the delights of the flesh, but that it may be all spent for thy honor and glory, so that I may gain a happy eternity. This I wish you too, my dear brethren, with all my heart, as well as a good time. Amen.